we're going to be looking in Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, and I'm going to talk about the God kind of faith. Now, it's important that we understand the basics of the God kind of faith. And we find it in the first seven verses of Hebrews chapter 11. And we find it in Abel, we find it in Enoch, and we find it also in Noah. And so we'll be looking at those three characters while I preach to these characters in the room, in this auditorium. So I get to preach to characters every week. What a blessing it is. This character gets to preach to you characters about characters in the Bible. Amen. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read the first seven verses of this chapter. I love the book of Hebrews. It's a fascinating book in the Bible. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that would be caught up in the presence of the Lord, that he should not see death, and was not found," meaning they looked for him but couldn't find him, "because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And of course, I want to talk about the God kind of faith tonight. You may be seated. We're looking at these three individuals in the scripture. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time in the first three verses. We want to look at Abel and Enoch and Noah. Because in the life of Abel, we see the redemption of the saints. The law first mentioned, the lamb is mentioned. Now, I realize that there were coats of skin sacrificed and clothed Adam and Eve, but the lamb was not mentioned until the offering of Abel on the altar in Genesis chapter 4. And so the law first mentioned means once it's mentioned at the start, there's a principle. And the lamb is slain throughout the Bible until we come to the cross of Calvary. And the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world dies on the cross of Calvary, raises again from the grave, and now he is the Lamb they sing about in the book of Revelation chapter 5. Now, I want us to look at Abel as the redemption of the saints, the principle of the redemption of the saints. I want us to look at Enoch. He had this world is not my home kind of faith. Abel had the lamb kind of faith. Enoch had this world is not my home kind of faith. In Abel, you have the redemption of the saints. In Enoch, you had the rescue of the saints. In Noah, he had the get ready kind of faith. And with Noah, we have the readiness of the saints, being prepared, because there's coming a time, we know not when, that Jesus Christ will judge the world, and we want to be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at the God kind of faith, and I want to begin by simply saying that Abel had the lamb kind of faith. Abel, of course, is the brother of Cain. You read about Abel and Cain in chapter 4 of Genesis. And you know the story. It came to pass that they're going to offer an offering unto the Lord. And Cain offers the fruits of the ground. And Abel is the keeper of the sheep. He offers a lamb. And the Bible is very clear that God rejected Cain's offering and accepted Abel's because Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain's sacrifice. The sacrifice that Cain offered was his works, his sweat, his labor from the ground. But the offering that Abel offered was pointing to a Messiah, someone that would come and take his place in the judgment of God. And the lamb was slain in order to point to the coming Lamb of God, one that would redeem them, the redemption plan of God. I think it's interesting in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, after Cain kills Abel, he slays Abel, and it was such a bloody mess that God said the blood spoke to him from the ground. Now, someone would readily say, well, you know, Cain killed Abel with a rock. Well, you know, remember, we're not talking about cavemen here. We're not talking about prehistoric men here. We're talking about God made in the men made in the image of God. So I don't know whether Cain bludgeoned Abel to death with a rock. I don't know. I know that if you get hit in the head, there's a lot of bleeding. Your head does a lot of bleeding when you get hit. You look like you're dead. You know, you bleed so much when you get a wound on the head. But remember that Cain was a tiller of the ground. And Cain did not till the ground with a rock. Cain tilled the ground with some type of spear or sharp wood, sharp tool in which he dug into the ground. I believe that personally, Cain probably killed Abel with one of the tools that he used to till the ground and beat him beyond recognition. I believe that Abel was beaten beyond recognition like Jesus was when he was nailed to the cross of Calvary. Because Abel is a type and a picture of what sin does and has done to Jesus Christ and what sin will do to people. So Abel dies, being bludgeoned to death by Cain. And let me stop right here. Maybe Cain did kill Abel with a rock. I don't know. But you don't know either. And maybe Cain did kill Abel with some type of tool he used to till the ground. I feel that's correct. But I wasn't there. I guess you'll have to go to Facebook to find out. They seem to have the answers for everything. But I want you to know that Abel was just as dead as if he had been killed by a rock, by a tilling instrument. He was just as dead either way. And he was a bloody mess because the anger of Cain was stirred. And Cain is a picture of sin. When Cain offered the fruits of the ground, I heard a church say one time, well, it didn't mean that God rejected Cain's sacrifice just because Abel had a lamb. And I thought, what? Do what now? What? The Bible's very clear that Abel offered more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And the Bible's very clear that there has to be a lamb sacrificed, there has to be blood shed in order to have remission of sins and forgiveness of sin. All the other gifts are just add-ons. All the other, you know, the labor of our hands, the work and the gifts to God, and all the, you know, the meal offerings and the flower offerings and the different offerings, that's just add-on. Without the lamb, you're going to burn in hell. Without the lamb, you'll never be saved. And so Abel brings a lamb to God. And that lamb he sacrifices on the altar to God. Knowing that Adam and Eve had took some time to teach Cain and Abel about God. How do you know that Adam and Eve took some time to teach Cain and Abel about God? I know that simply because Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And it was by faith that Abel brought a lamb to God. Cain brought his fruit to the ground by faith. Wrong kind of faith, but still he brought his fruits of the ground. God rejected it and simply said, no, there has to be blood. And what Cain should have done is Cain should have went and purchased him a lamb from his brother and offered the lamb for his sin, but he didn't. He thought that his sacrifice was good as anybody else's. Bless God, what I do is just as good as anybody else. No, what you do is probably just as bad as anybody else. Hello. And Abel had the lamb kind of faith. And every one of us, until we have the lamb kind of faith, will never have the God kind of faith. God made a clear-cut redemption that one day he would send a seed, and that seed would be born of a Virgin Mary, a woman. And from that virgin womb, Jesus Christ would be born, and he would be the sinless, spotless Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He declared it in Genesis 3:15, that lamb, that one that is slain, that man of power, that man of glory, that man of God, manifested God in the flesh, would literally pound the devil into the ground with his heel and crush him and put out death like you would put out a cigarette butt on the ground. That's our God. And so Abel offered a sacrifice, and the Bible says it was a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. I think it's interesting, God shows up, and no doubt Cain has hid him somewhere. Cain has hid his brother Abel somewhere. And back to verse 9 of Genesis 4, he says, where's your brother? God says, where's your brother, Cain? And he said, I know not. Well, he knew exactly where his brother was. His brother's where he was hid in the brush or hid it, buried in a shallow grave. He knew where his brother was. He said, am I my brother's keeper? And of course, he was. And we are our brother's keeper. But verse 10 says in Genesis 4, and he said, what hast thou done? God asked Cain, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth up from me, unto me from the ground. Meaning while he's dead, yet he still speaketh, because his blood never dies in the sight of God. The blood that was shed. And I want you to know, today we need to remember that the blood of Jesus Christ from the cross of Calvary cries up to God and says, this is the only thing that will remove your sin. This blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary out of Emmanuel's veins is the only thing that will remove the stain and the sin and the wickedness in your life. It takes the blood of the Lamb. And John the Baptist shouted out in the first chapter of St. John, behold, the Lamb of God. He shouted it loud, behold the Lamb of God. And then when he took him down into the river and John the Baptist baptized him in the river Jordan, as Jesus come up out of the water of Jordan, God opened the heavens and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Spirit of God abode upon Jesus Christ to do a job. And Jesus did that job, casting out devils, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, touching lives, opening blinded eyes. Jesus, the miracle worker, does it all and presents the love of God to mankind and tells us that God so loved you that he's going to give his Son for your sin. And Jesus mounts that cross as a victor. Jesus mounts the cross as a mighty warrior. And he's not a victim. He's a victorious overcomer. And he dies on the cross of Calvary so that you and I can be forgiven. And that blood cries up to the Father. That blood cries up from the Father. Hallelujah. That blood cries up to the Father. And while Jesus being dead, he still speaks Why? Because he's risen from the dead. He's alive, and his blood speaks on our behalf. Our sins are forgiven. We're washed in the blood. We're on our way to heaven. Why? Because we've got a lamb faith in God. Abel had a lamb type of faith. And we're never going to go to heaven without that lamb type of faith. The principle in the lamb, Hebrews 11:4, by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The voice of Jesus Christ has never been silenced. The voice of Abel has never been silenced. The voice of the prophets have never been silenced. The voice of John the Baptist has never been silenced. And our voice will never be silenced. And Jesus' voice will never be silenced. I don't care what the world says. The voice of Jesus Christ will never be silenced. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But Jesus Christ said, my word shall not pass away. God's word will never be silenced. Crying out to us, crying out to God, crying out to God to bring redemption. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! So Abel had the God kind of faith because he had a lamb kind of faith. And I want you to know that I've got a lamb kind of faith. Jesus is my lamb. He's the Lamb of God. I've got a blood kind of faith. The blood of Jesus has saturated my mind, my soul, my heart. And I'm going to heaven because the blood of Jesus Christ has connected me back with the life and the spirit of Almighty God. And one day I'll be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. And I'll be just like Enoch. I'll be gone. Amen. Now I'm preaching better than you're responding. Enoch. Now we see that Abel had the lamb kind of faith. Now we find that Enoch had this world is not my home kind of faith. Isn't that good? You know why this world was not Enoch's home? Because he was too close to God. And when you get too close to God, this world will never be your home. The closer you get to God, this world is not your home. And Enoch walked with God. In fact, Enoch was 65 years old when Methuselah was born. And because of that birth of that son, Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. And for 300 years, Enoch wanted to go home. For 300 years, Enoch said, this world is not my home. For 300 years, Enoch said, God's coming to judge this wicked, ungodly world. This world's not my home. And one day, as Enoch was walking with God, God says, come on, let's go home. And God took Enoch off the earth, and Enoch disappeared from planet earth because he had that, this world's not my home kind of faith. Hello. Let me tell you, friends, right now, you can say you're saved and you can say you have the faith of Jesus, but if this world is too homey to you, you better check your faith. If you're too entangled with this world, you better check your faith. Enoch had the God kind of faith. He wanted to go home so bad. For 300 years, he walked with God. He talked with God. He preached and he told the world that God was coming and there would be a rescue because he said, behold, he cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Enoch said in the book of Jude, and Enoch was simply saying, there's going to be a rescue for the saints. There's going to be a rescue for the saints. Enoch was trapped in a wicked, vile world, but God had a rescue for Enoch. And I want you to know, we're trapped in an ungodly world, but God has a rescue for you and I. Woo! God has a rescue for you and I. Wow! Say, well, I don't believe in the rapture. Well, you better believe that Enoch got gone. Amen. You can call it what you want to call it, but you can call me gone when the Lord comes. I don't really give a flip or a rip what you think about it. You can rip your britches for all I care. Amen. Enoch had this world is not my home kind of faith. And true born-again Christians, this world is not your home. And we have in these latter days, we can call us the rescue saints. One day God's going to rescue us. He's going to rescue those that are in the grave. He's going to rescue you and I that remain. And we're going to be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Just like Enoch was not taken into heaven to be with God. Just as though Enoch was not found. They couldn't find him. He disappeared. He went home. One day we'll disappear. We'll be gone. We'll go home. Rescued. Yeah, whoo, praise the Lord. Amen. Man, I feel like I could preach a little while. Enoch had this world is not my home kind of faith. And people that have made this home too homey to them, I question their true God kind of faith. Because the God kind of faith is wanting to get out of here. The God kind of faith is knowing something spectacular is about to happen. And though Enoch walked 300 years with God, and every moment I believe he was looking for a way to go home, one day God says, it's time. Come on, let's go. And Enoch was caught up to meet God in the air. And today we can shout glory. One day God's going to nudge us and say, come on. Let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. The God kind of faith believes that Jesus Christ is returning soon. The God kind of faith believes that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The God kind of faith believes that Jesus Christ died on the cross, buried in a tomb, rose again from the grave, ascended back to the Father. The God kind of faith is looking to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the blood of God that washes our sins clean. The God kind of faith is expecting God to come and rescue us. He has redeemed us. Now we want to depart because this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Amen. Woo! So we see Abel was the redemption, a picture of the redemption of the saints. We see that Enoch is a picture of the rescue of the saints. Now we see Noah, and he's the picture of the readiness of the saints. Isn't that good? Now, if we want to get technical, Abel is a picture of Old Testament saints, even up to now, the Lamb of God. Take away the sin of the world. Jesus accomplishes that Lamb on the cross, raises it again from the dead. Enoch is a picture of a future taken up to be with God, the rapture, the catching away of the church, the rescue of the saints. And then we find, but that is before the flood, before the judgment of God. And then Noah is actually the preserving and the keeping Israel safe during the Great Tribulation. But what good is Noah if he doesn't apply to our life as well? I mean, I like Noah. I love Noah. And when I look at Noah's life, I understand. And I don't want to split hairs right now. Someone says, how long did it take Noah to build the ark? Someone said 120 years. But if you look at Genesis 5:32, Noah was 100 years old when he began. And if you do the math, he actually built the ark in 100 years. Maybe 100, 120. What's the difference? If I was building a boat that big, it wouldn't matter 20 years or 100, whatever. For 120 years, Noah built the ark. For 120 years, he told everyone while he built that ark, it's going to rain. God's going to judge the world. And every time Noah drove a peg to brace a beam in that ark, he was telling them, it's going to rain. Be ready, be ready, be ready. And I want to say, all of us in this room, be ready. Noah had the get ready kind of faith. And the Bible says that Noah built the ark. And as he built the ark, notice it says, in beautiful words, verse 7, and by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want you to know that Noah had the get ready kind of faith, and you're going to have to say, have the same kind of faith to be able to endure this world. Get ready, get ready. The trouble's coming. Get ready, get ready. The clouds are coming. Get ready, get ready. The floodwaters are coming. Get ready, get ready. God's going to judge the world. Get ready, get ready. God's coming. Get ready, get ready. God's going to deal with humanity. Get ready, get ready. Be ready. Be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Be ready to be caught up at any moment. Get ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. And tell your neighbors and tell your friends and tell your children, you better be ready, because the flood will come and they'll know not until it comes upon them. The rains will descend. And Noah cried, it's going to rain. Noah cried, it's going to flood. Noah cried, it's going to get cloudy and ominous and black clouds, and it's going to flood. And the waters are going to break up from the deep and from the above, and it's going to rain, and it's going to pour down rain 40 days and 40 nights. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. And they hadn't seen rain, but Noah says, it's going to happen. And I want you to know, in our vernacular, it would be, it's all going to burn. Yeah. Amen? How many remember, and some of you don't remember, the phrase that some of our preacher friends used to use years ago? They'd always use, it's all going to burn. It is. Mike DeZura used to always say that. He'd say, it's all going to burn. You got your new car, got your fancy house, it's all going to burn. Hello, it's all going to burn. I'm glad I got Jesus. Hello, he's my asbestos. Jesus is my no flame. Jesus is my God. Jesus is my good to go. Amen? How many would agree that Jesus is your good to go? And Noah cried, it's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And we cry, it's all going to burn. God's going to come, it's going to come. And they laugh at us when we tell people. We come to church on Wednesday night, they laugh at us. We say we believe the Bible. They laugh at us. The world makes fun of us. But rest assured, one day the door will be shut and they will not be able to enter in. And we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and the door will be shut, and they will face the wrath and the darkness and the plunder and death and lightning bolts and the wrath of God upon the earth. There's the wrath of man. There's the wrath of Satan. There's the wrath of God. We're seeing the wrath of man now. We're seeing the wrath of Satan now. And it will intensify. In the book of Revelation, the wrath of Satan, the wrath of the devil will intensify, because he wants to wear out the saints. But one day, when the church is called home, God is going to pour out his wrath, the wrath of man, the wrath of the devil. But nobody has seen wrath until they see the wrath of God. And when that happens, I'm going to be sitting on the lap of Jesus. Woo! I'm going to be hunkered down on the sea of glass. Amen. I'm going to be hunkered down on the sea of glass. And I'm going to see lightnings and thunderings and voices in Revelation 4 and 5. I'm going to see that sea of glass. I'm going to be hunkered down on the sea of glass. And I'm going to turn to Jerry. I'm going to turn to Chris. I'm going to turn to Don. Turn to Dale. I'm going to turn to Bobby. Say, it sure looks like a storm's brewing up. Amen. Sure looks like a storm's coming in. And yes, it is. But it's going to go over the top of us because we are protected under God's umbrella of love. And that wrath will come upon the earth and we'll be nestled in the arms of Jesus Christ. And we need to be ready. Get ready. Get ready. Hey, we're about out of time. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get to praying. Get to reading your Bible. Get in church. Stay in church. Get ready. It's coming. If you're watching me by live stream right now, get your lazy hide up and get to church. Get ready. Get ready. You say, well, I'm too busy. I got things to do. You better get ready. For 120 years, Noah drove them heavy pegs and moved them beams and worked hard. And Methuselah, his grandpappy, I believe, told him some things to do. And Methuselah says, look, I'm not going to live much longer. You better get the boat finished. Because when I die, the flood's coming. When I die, it's coming. When I die, this tight wineskin that's tight, I'm going to burst. And when I burst, the heavens will burst with water. Methuselah, that's what Methuselah means. When I die, it happens like a tight wine skin about fermenting to burst open. And when Methuselah died, Noah's grandson, actually it was Methuselah's grandson, Noah, he's in the ark. Shem, Ham, and Japheth says, where's the steering wheel? Where's the rudder? And Noah says, didn't put one on. Didn't think I'd need it. Where's your steering wheel? Where's your stern? Where's your rudder? And Shem, Ham, and Japheth says, Dad, you should have put that on there. And Dad says, nope, wasn't in the plans. Wasn't in the plans. Hello? It wasn't in the plans for me to steer my life. It's in God's plan to steer my life. I didn't build this boat to be a speed boat. I didn't build this boat to be a cruise boat. I didn't build this boat, this boat, Noah's Ark, to be a cruise ship or a pirate ship or a place where people can water ski behind. I didn't build this ark to be a place where we could have fun. I built it just to float. Amen. Float. Why? Because it was Holy Ghost airtight. Pitch within and pitch without. A picture of God's mighty mercy and grace. It was airtight. Amen. Hello. Now, if God would have put a steering wheel on that, Noah would have probably thought, well, I'm going to turn this thing around. I don't like where we're going. Well, there's no place to go. If you turn around, where are you going to go? Really? When Jesus Christ told his disciples, are you going to go away also? When Jesus preached such a hard message, I think it's in John 6, are you going to go away also? And Jesus Christ says to them, are you going to leave? And Peter spoke up and said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words to eternal life. There's no place to go but to Jesus. Hello? Just as sure as there was Abel, who offered a lamb at the beginning and pointed to the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. That's there in Revelation chapter 5. The lamb that they sing and praise God to. Just as sure as Enoch was caught up to meet Jesus in the air, or to meet God in the air, we too will be caught up, rescued from this world, because this world is not our home. And just as sure as God is alive, and he is, just as sure as God is eternal, you're going to make it. Get through the storm. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Noah is also a picture of perseverance of man. The God kind of faith doesn't give up. The God kind of faith never gives up. The God kind of faith says, I've got some stick-to-ism in me. Amen? The God kind of faith is God taking us through to the other side. The God kind of faith. Amen? I went to the post office today, and I told the lady at the counter, I said, you're so stinking slow. I said, I'm sure glad you don't have to lick the stamps anymore. She looked at me and says, yeah, we're blessed not to have to lick the stamps anymore. I teased her. She didn't. I wasn't being rude. I was just being me. And I said, you don't have to lick the stamps anymore. Amen? Hello? And God has made us like a stamp. We can take a licking and still stick to God. Hello? You can use that modern day glue that they use on their services, but I'd just soon be licked by the Holy Ghost, so I'll have some stick 'em. Amen? You lick that stamp and it sticks. And I want you to know when God licks us, we'll stick. And not only will we stick like a stamp to a letter, God's letter, the Bible, God's word. You know, not anymore. I remember when I was growing up, neither rain nor sleet nor hail nor, what was it? Well, deter the U.S. mail. Boy, have they gone away from that. You talk about the post office backslid. My goodness. Anything to keep them from getting, you know, it's you know, I'm just too busy. Hello? Remember that? Years ago, they said a letter, once it's stamped by the United States Post Office, it had the full authority of America to see to it, it gets where it's sent. And when Jesus licked me, stuck me on his contract, stuck me on his covenant, the full power of Almighty God is going to see to it that I get to the correct address. John 14, 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The full security of God. Hey, it's not my place to buy, preserve, or win heaven. It's Jesus Christ's place to save me, to wash me, to preserve me, and to present me faultless before him with exceeding joy. It's not my place to save me. It's his place to save me. And when the Father gave me, did you hear me? When the Father gave me to Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus said, all that the Father give me, I give unto them eternal life and they'll never perish. So the Father gave me to Jesus. What did he give me to Jesus for? To lick me, to stamp me, to prepare me, to send me on my way, to cleanse me, to heal me, to save me, to deliver me, to give me eternal life, to wash me clean by his blood and raise again from the dead. He bought me, and the Father gave me to his Son, Jesus Christ, to get me home. I'm going home because this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And when I get to heaven, there will not be chickens in the backyard. Amen. Hello. Now you can take that however way you think I mean it, but I'm not opposed to chicken. Chicken tastes good. Amen. This belt right here is a picket fence around the chicken graveyard. as round belly as a chicken coop. I like chicken. But I'm like that comedian. I hope I never get to heaven and find out chickens go there. Because I'll hate to face them. I'd hate to face the 10,000 chickens I've eaten along the way. Amen? Come on. Woo! Praise the Lord. I'm having a good time. I'm enjoying the blessing of the Lord. I know it's Wednesday, but I just had to have a spell. I'm trying to get my cholesterol thinned out a little bit. My blood pressure right now is probably 110 over 60. I love to preach, love to share the word of God. Amen. My heart rate can be 50. When I get around Judy, it's 70. Amen. I got to quit. How many want me to quit? You want me to quit? You're afraid to say, no, I don't want you to quit, because you're afraid I won't quit. I know you want to sing the song, I want to go home. I want to go home. Lord, I want to go home. Well, I do too, but not your home. I want to go to God's home. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to give an invitation. Wow. I feel like evangelism kind of hit tonight. A little bit of a revival spirit. Amen. It began Sunday morning. It's just still going and going and going. I praise God for his blessing. So I want to encourage you. If you're struggling, if you're weary, trust him. Jesus is our good to go. And I believe that the God kind of faith is what I just preached. Now, I'm not talking about miracle, faith for miracles. I'm talking about faith for redemption, faith for living for God, faith to be right with the Lord. The God kind of faith. The world has all kinds of faith in wrong things. But I got my faith in what is right and just. The eternal God. The altar's open. Josh, go ahead.